Hello, saints. Good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and I thank you for your word. I thank you for the authority that you've given us that we can walk in true deliverance. And I praise you for that, Father. You've given us the word that tells us that we do have authority over all the power of the enemy. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that we're going to talk about that today and about casting out demons. And we thank you, Father, for giving us that opportunity to walk in true divine freedom in Jesus' name. That's what I want to talk about today, folks, is believers can cast out demons. Let's start with Luke chapter 1 and verse 68. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he hath visited and wrought redemption for his people. Well, that redemption is described as, in verse 71, salvation from our enemies, that's for his people, and from the hand of all that hate us, to grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, should serve him without fear. Glory be to God. We've been delivered, folks. God fashioned redemption through Jesus Christ, and we have been delivered. Now, it only remains for us to enter into those works through faith and what he said about us. These statements right here are power in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You know, when God makes a statement that seems to be contrary to what's naturally going on in the world, it's because he wants to mix our faith with the word and to see it come to pass. And only believers that have a gift from God to believe can do that. Look what Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 said. He has delivered us out of the power of darkness, and we're no longer under the dominion of the devil and his forces, are we? You say, that's contrary to a lot of things I see in Christianity and a lot of the situations that God's people are living under. Well, that's true. But you see, our faith is what changes those things. And our calling the things that are not, that's the promises, as though they were, Romans 4 and 17. That's what brings this to pass. So since we've been delivered out of the power of darkness, and the Lord tells us that he's given us authority over our enemies, he's done that through the promises. We're told in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, one of my favorite, Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. So he's delivered us out of the power of our enemies. And who is it that has that authority to do that? Is it only the very wise? No, look at this. Look at Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. That's the only condition there is. Them that believe. You don't have to go to a deliverance ministry. All you got to do is hear the voice of the Spirit, and it's that simple. Now, I know there are people out there that have more experience and are able to teach you things, but I want to talk to those that are just young Christians. You have all the authority that you need to cast out demons. Listen, I've been casting out demons since shortly after I became a Christian, and it was because I was putting the Word of God to work, and I learned a lot, and the Lord knows that we make some stumbling steps as we're growing up, but he teaches us through the things that we go through if we are willing to be obedient. He said, In my name shall they cast out demons. Now, don't think that you can't do it. This is for everybody, all the Christians. These signs shall accompany them that believe. That's the only condition there is. All you got to do is to be a believer. Now, I want to talk about Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. And when even was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all that were sick. Well, if you listen to a lot of people today, you'd think that Jesus had already gotten rid of all the demons, and we don't have to worry about it. But they're not really experiencing what's going on around them. Yes, there are no less demons today than there was in Jesus' day. And some say that a third of Jesus' ministry was spent casting out demons. But you don't see very many Christians doing that, do you? And that's a real problem. The more you get into this, God gives you a discerning of spirits, and you understand and see that we're wrestling with principalities and powers all around us, folks. We're not called to wrestle with flesh and blood. Just remember that. And notice what he says, and he cast out the spirits with a word. Just a word. The Lord just exercised authority. Now, what did we just read in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19? Behold, I have given you authority. The Lord has given us authority over all, it said, the power of the enemy. You know, if he cast out demons with the word, there ain't no hint there anywhere that he used anything but authority. He didn't wrestle these people to the floor like I've seen a lot of Christians do. And also the seven sons of Sceva were a good example in Acts 19. Jesus didn't wrestle with these demon-possessed people, did he? We're taught not to wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. Ephesians 6 and 12. And I can tell you, they can be a whole lot stronger than you and I are. Anybody that's seen that knows that. Now, I have never really wrestled with anybody or held anybody down or tried to force anything on them that the authority of the Lord wouldn't do. In fact, I believe that is one sure sign that God is with you, because when you exercise your authority, they obey. And if you have to get into the flesh and wrestle with anybody to give them a deliverance, God's not with you. And there has to be a reason. Jesus didn't wrestle with them. He just cast them out with the word. Jesus, in Acts 1, 4, and 5, says, charge them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. You shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, some people need guidance. Even after they get saved, they do dumb things where they turn themselves over to the devil. But the Lord's given us authority, and the devil knows that. We don't have to wrestle with flesh and blood. When we act in His name, that's the key that we read in Mark 16 and 17. In my name means representing Him. And that's why we study the scriptures, to make sure that we're not representing ourselves or doing it on our own. Because we're trusting in Him, because we are His representative authority here on earth. We are the body of Christ. And the youngest Christian out there has this authority. The body of Christ cast these demons out in Matthew 8. Now here we are with Christ being manifested in us through His word. And He has called us to be His body through whom He can continue to cast these demons out. Now we need to recognize our authority in the Lord and not try to get in the flesh like the seven sons of Sceva did, preaching a Jesus whom Paul preaches. These demons said they didn't know these men, and they jumped on them and bested them, and they fled out of there naked and wounded. Acts 19, 13 through 16. And I remember what God told His disciples, that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and men of violence take it by force. And He told them that there is none greater, born of women, than John the Baptist. Yet he that is but little in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. In the New Testament, this born-again experience gives us the authority to act in the name of Jesus Christ. I was casting out demons when I was very young in the Lord. And I got a lot of faith because the Lord healed and delivered me at a young age in the Lord. And I studied the word concerning faith, because faith cometh of hearing and hearing by the word. Romans 10:17. It was just a natural byproduct of staying in the word. So I got a lot of faith doing that. And I really believe that God is my Savior. And He's the one who wants to live and to speak and to do works through me. And I believe that we are the body of Christ for the purpose of Jesus Christ living in this body. And in casting out those demons, the Lord showed me that we have to exercise our dominion and not wrestle with these things and not wrestle with the flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. Now, if you go further back into the chapter, Matthew 8 to verse 5, and when he was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth in the house sick of a palsy. That's a paralytic. Grievously tormented. Sounds like demons, don't it? And in verse 7, and he saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having under myself soldiers. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servants, do this, and he does it. So why is this centurion talking about authority to rule over his servant? What's that got to do with the situation? Well, the reason why is he recognized that Jesus was a person of authority. Well, authority to do what? Was it to rule the angel? Was it to rule the demons that were in his paralytic body? Well, I would say that he recognized him as an authority over the spiritual world and the spiritual kingdom. Both. Over the forces of darkness, because we know that's true. Ephesians 1:20-22 says, Jesus overcame to rule over the principalities and powers and every name that is named in this world and that which is to come. And he also ruled over the angels who go forth and serve those who are heirs of salvation. So he was seeing this authority that Jesus exercised, and he knew that nothing could stand before that. He said, only say the word. Now there's a Greek note in, that says, say with a word. You just say with a word and my servant will be healed. And we can read on down that the centurion recognized Jesus' great authority and knew that he had authority in the spiritual realm. Then verse 10, and when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast forth into the outer darkness, and there shall be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, he still hadn't said what the word was he? The word for word there is logos, and it just means a communication, something that is said. Jesus was something that God said in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The word there is, of course, logos, because God spoke to us through Jesus. Not just through the words that he spoke, but through his life. He is the living Word of God. And so what's the Word? Jesus finally comes with the word that the centurion was looking for. And again, it wasn't a single word, but it was a communication. It was a group of words, but it was a word from God. In verse 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in that hour. And notice, I want you to notice what Jesus did not say. Come out in the name of Jesus. He didn't say that. I command you, paralytic spirit, to come out in Jesus' name. He didn't give that. He didn't give a name. He just exercised his authority. And what was the word? as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. In other words, you said it, you got it. You believed it, it's yours. That's real simple, isn't it? You see, there's no magic in the words. There's no magic at all. Just speak it. People diligently study to find out what you have to say to demons and how you talk to them and cast them out. Well, it's real simple. We're just exercising the authority that the Lord gave us. Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. John 20:21. He delegated his authority. Just as the Father sent the first body of Christ, he sent the second body of Christ. And Jesus did too. We got that authority. Jesus said, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And that's not the normal deliverance ministry at all. He was exercising authority. He knew he had authority. And he didn't get red in the face and he didn't wrestle with anybody. He just knew he had authority. Everything is not a demon possession. Even spirits of infirmity don't have to be a possession. We just read in Matthew 8:16, they brought unto him many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word. You know, the devil is involved in every sickness. The Bible says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's in Acts 10:38. Meaning that all the people that Jesus healed were oppressed of the devil. And if it's a possession or just an oppression, either one is an oppression. The devil can oppress you from within, and he can oppress you from without. But it's still an oppression, and every one that Jesus healed, it was because of the devil. Who, by the way, administers the curse on humanity? In Deuteronomy 28, that's the devil's job. Now, he does a good job of it. And he does it according to the law of the word, believe it or not. So this was a work of the devil. When Jesus spoke, guess what? His faith, his agreement with the word, bound the devil and broke his power over this paralytic. We just read in Mark 16:17, and these signs shall accompany them that believe in my name, shall they cast out demons. So all you have to do is believe. You have to believe that you have authority. I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And a lot of people brush that off. I say Jesus was talking to those apostles over there, the first disciples. He wasn't talking to us. Well, how come there's people out there going around casting out demons then? I'm sure out there probably would not even agree that people are doing that, but the testimonies are too abundant to ignore. Listen, get your eyes open. People are being delivered from demons, and some of them are cast out by baby Christians, because the only condition is to believe, right? Jesus believed he had authority. He exercised and he spoke it, and by the way, he gave authority to the man's words. Now, I know this wasn't a Jew according to the Old Covenant, but he was a man of faith. And if you remember in Romans 11, that when the Jews didn't believe Jesus, he broke them off the olive tree. And he grafted in the Gentiles who did believe. Jesus was willing to go to this man's house to cast the demons out. But this man exercised authority and faith. He said, hey, I ain't worthy for you to come to my house. You just say that word, my servant will be healed. And he was. And notice it wasn't a servant, it was a man who exercised authority for the servant. And that's something that was common in the scriptures too, by the way. God permitted him to exercise his responsibility in the spiritual areas. He accepted this man as responsible, and he accepted this man's faith. And of course, we have that authority also. Jesus had the authority to cast out demons, but he put responsibility upon the people who needed the deliverance for themselves or under their authority. Jesus didn't say, according to my faith. He said, according to your faith, Matthew 9:29. Jesus had faith. These signs shall accompany them that believe. Mark 16:17. But who is it that is entitled? Romans 1:16. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. That's talking about the person that needs the salvation. So we see here that Jesus had authority when they were entitled to it. We know that the devil has rights. The kingdom of God gives the devil rights. Hebrews 10:26 says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, which shall devour the adversary. You know, that means that if you walk in willful disobedience, there's no sacrifice for your deliverance. You're paying a price to bring you to repentance while you're going through this. You can't take away the devil's authority if he has authority given to him by God. We have authority over him when we run into somebody who is entitled to the benefits. This man was entitled to the benefits because he believed. Not everybody is entitled to the benefits. Matter of fact, we see in Matthew 10:5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and charged them, saying, go not into any way of the Gentiles, and enter not into any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, why did he do that? Because they had a covenant, and Jesus was going to the people of the covenant. Jesus himself said, I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Did you know that Romans 11:17-26 was speaking of the faithful Jews who stayed in the olive tree and the believers that were grafted into that olive tree? Then he said, and so all Israel shall be saved. Meaning those in the olive tree of all Israel are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the Old Testament saints who were born again when he preached to the souls in prisons are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:19. The faithful Jews who came and followed him, they were believers and were entitled. Jesus went forth to share the gospel with the covenant people to see who was entitled to these benefits. The centurion happened to be a covenant person by faith, not because he was a Jew according to the old covenant, but because he was a Jew according to the coming new covenant. And Jesus accepted that. So he said, go not into any way of the Gentiles, because these covenant people were entitled to the benefits. Well, what were the benefits? Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Glory to God. He was saying, don't go to the lost. Go to the covenant people and cast out their demons. Now, there's a fairly large portion of Christianity today that don't even believe that God people can have demons. But that's who Jesus was casting them out of. He and his disciples were going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and were casting out demons before God turned to the Gentile. Did you notice back in our text in Matthew 8:16? Said, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases. Who was Isaiah speaking to? The Jews? Israel? It's us who have the benefits of the kingdom. Our. And notice it's past tense. Took our infirmities, bear our diseases. It's already been done, folks. So therefore, we have authority, since it's already been done, to cast out demons. But notice the sacrifice was effectually for God's people. You say, I thought it was for whosoever will. Well, there isn't anybody that wills except those people who have a gift of faith from God and are drawn of the Father. That's what the Bible says. John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." So, therefore, the covenant people are the people that will. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Effectually, Jesus died for whosoever will, because these are the ones who have faith and so have a right to the benefits of the covenant. And another proof is this in Mark 7:25-27. "But straightway a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, having heard of him, came and fell down at his feet." Now the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by race, and she besought him that he would cast forth a demon out of her daughter. And he said unto her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet or able to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Well, right here, you have a Syrophoenician woman with the daughter that has a spirit of infirmity. And Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. In other words, the children of God have a right to the benefit of deliverance. Colossians 1:13. "Who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." Meaning the people of the kingdom have this deliverance and the world doesn't. We would love to cast demons out of everybody out there. And sometimes God speaks to us concerning one of his elect that hadn't come into the kingdom yet, and he said, "Cast out that demon." Do you know God can do that? Because he knows the elect before you do. So don't say we can't cast demons out of somebody that's not a Christian. We know people are entitled to the benefits of the kingdom if they are a child of God. So we can freely give it to a child of God. It's guaranteed to them because Jesus cast out all their demons. We know that the devil has rights. If we cast the demons out of somebody who is walking in willful disobedience, they're just going to come back because this person won't repent, so they're still under the penalty of their sin, and they'll just come back. They did it with Jesus. He said in Matthew 12:43, "But the unclean spirit, when he has gone out of the man, passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and findeth it not. Then he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more evil than himself. Even so shall it be also unto this evil generation." Well, why? And to who? So shall it be to this generation. So Jesus cast demons out, and he healed the sick, and they wouldn't turn from their sins and their rebellious ways, and guess what? It all came back on them. It all came back on them, 7 times worse. That happens today, folks. Many people don't keep their healing or their deliverance, and it's because they will not repent. We need to appreciate what God does for us. His grace, mercy, and his love. We need to appreciate it so much that we'll decide to live for him. But many don't do that. They go right back and end up worse than before. And they are so happy to be free because now they can go sin some more. Folks, it don't work that way. The devil has rights, and he knows it. He's a good lawyer. He knows the Bible, and he knows his rights, and the Word of God gives him that right. Even the Apostle Paul turned a man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that his spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 5:5. And when people are in rebellion, are living under the curse of the devil, and because of their sin, you may be able to give them some temporary relief or deliverance, but it won't be permanent until they repent. turn from their evil ways. The Lord gives the devil a right. The curse in Deuteronomy 28 is God's chastening upon the wicked to bring them to repentance. He sent a Savior to deliver us from the chastening for those who believe. He bore the chastening and the demonic oppression. Jesus came to show us that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts 10:38. So if you want to repent of your sins and serve God, deliverance will do you very well. And if you don't, it'll just be a bigger curse on you. Be sure that you appreciate God's precious gift. The Syrophoenician woman expressed her faith. Mark 7:28, "Yea, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." And he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way. The demon is gone out of thy daughter." And he didn't sit over there and argue with the demons, get red in the face, or do anything else, slam them to the floor. He spoke it, and he knew it had come to pass, because the demons have to obey us. And there's a word right here in that text. With a word. There's the word right there. "For this saying, go up thy way. The demon is gone out of thy daughter." Glory be to God. The word of faith. Thank you, Father. We have that authority. We're not doing anything out of our own power. We have authority over the power of the devil. When we find people who are entitled to the benefits of the kingdom. Jesus found this woman who expressed her faith, so she was entitled. He gave it to her. She too was a child of the kingdom. Through faith, she became Abraham's seed, and her circumcision was a circumcision of heart, not of flesh, Romans 2:28. And we got that authority as well when we preach the gospel to the people who believe it. And they receive it. Then they are entitled. We know we are standing on firm ground and have authority. Jesus gave us the demonstration and we walk in his steps. And if you are a believer, you don't have to bring anybody to the preacher. You don't have to know the names of the demons. You don't have to get red in the face. You don't have to rattle anybody to the floor or hold anybody down. All you have to do is exercise your authority over that devil and command him to go. Glory be to God. That's simple. Is exercise your authority over that devil and command him to go, and he's got to go. And believe it's done. That's all. Just go on about your business, because that devil's gone. Now let's look at Matthew 10:5 concerning Christians and demons. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and charged them, saying, go not into any way of the Gentiles, and enter not into any city of the Samaritan, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." The Lord sent his disciples out to cast the demons out of the covenant people of God. And we've noticed from 1 Corinthians 10:5-11 that everything that happens to Israel is a type and a shadow for the church. And the Lord gave authority only for those who were covenant people, because the promises were given to God's people. They weren't made for the world. Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, "According to your faith be it done unto you." And Romans 1:6, "For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." That's the condition. It's always there throughout the scriptures. Now we looked at some examples of people that were not covenant people according to the Old Testament, but were covenant people according to the New Testament, and they entered in through their faith. We're sons of Abraham through faith. And those who are born from above, born again, are circumcised in heart. Romans 2:28 says, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart." And just as Jesus sent forth his disciples to cast the demons out of his covenant people, we know that in these days there's going to be a perfect fulfillment of this in the man-child ministry. Sent forth disciples to cast demons out of the lost sheep of the New Testament spiritual Israel. And some people are saying right now, as they're listening to me, "No, it's not possible. Christians can't have demons." Well, Jesus must have wasted his time telling his disciples to go forth. Jesus and the disciples cast the demons out of the house of Israel. Almost all of the people that the Lord has used me to cast demons out were Christians. The overwhelming majority of them. Now, folks, don't say it can't happen. It's not just the experience of people who have the gift of discerning of spirits. How many of you know that discerning of spirits is a supernatural gift that God gives to people to see demons? Not just discern them, but the discerning may mean in many cases in seeing them. And I've seen them. And I'm telling you, I see them in Christians also. Well, just as his first covenant people could have demons, his second covenant people can and do. And we need to be weary. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10 says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day, and behold, a woman that had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and she was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up." Maybe that should be bowed together. "And when Jesus saw her, he called her and said to her, 'Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity,'" which he called a spirit of infirmity, a demon spirit that causes sickness. Verse 13, "And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." Nothing else will work but deliverance. What did he say? "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." He just exercised faith and authority. There were no magic words, "Come out in the name of Jesus." Sometimes that works quite well, but I want you to notice that there's no use getting in a rut. The Lord just exercised his authority over those demons. He knew what he said. Or they knew what he said. And then they went. Listen, it's the same with us, because Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." John 20:21. And he sent them out to exercise that same authority. We have it today. Mark 16:17. "And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons." So we just need to believe the word of God and start acting on it. Luke 13:13. "And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue, being moved with indignation because Jesus has healed on the Sabbath, answered and said to the multitude, 'There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the day of the Sabbath.' But the Lord answered him and said, 'Ye hypocrites, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, to have been loosed from this bond on the day of the Sabbath?'" One of the conditions he pointed out there was, this is a daughter of Abraham, and is quite legal for a daughter of Abraham to be loosed from demons on the Sabbath. She has a covenant with God. She has a guaranteed right to deliverance from God. And nobody in the world has that but a child of God. In the New Testament, like when Jesus was talking to the Jews concerning their status in the kingdom, John 8:31, Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him, see, you can believe in some ways and not in others. If you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, glory to God. In our day, the truth sets us free from bondage. Jesus got that Isaiah 61:1 anointing to open the prison to them that were bound, to set the captives free, as prophesied in Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. For this applied to Jesus and to us also. Who did he choose to set free? It was a daughter of Abraham, the covenant people. Jesus came in a time when he was leading people out of the old covenant and into the new. Both were in effect. He had to come first to the covenant people and offer them this benefit of the kingdom. But when they rebuked him and renounced his words and persecuted him and his disciples, so Israel was reprobated, and then God offered this gift to the Gentiles. What was their argument? I guess what Jesus said. They answered unto him, we are Abraham's seed and have never yet been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? There are a lot of folks that think because they are Christians, they don't need to be set free and don't need any deliverance. But the truth will set you free, and the lie will keep you in bondage. Jesus understood this. Listen to verse 39. They answered and said unto him, our father is Abraham. Jesus said unto them, if you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. In the New Testament, you have to walk in their steps to be a child of someone. And what is it to be a child of the kingdom? 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in Christ ought himself also to walk even as he walked. And that's the only proof that you are a child of someone, which is a spiritual seed, not a physical one, and that you walk as they walked. Jesus was pointing out that if they were true children of Abraham, they'd do his works. But instead, he said in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, because they were walking in his steps. He said, the lust of your father, it is your will to do. In the New Testament, the genealogy, according to the flesh, doesn't count. But in the Spirit, the seed is passed on in the Word. And through believing the Word, we give fertile ground to the seed. And when we believe and act on the Word of God, which is the seed of the kingdom, in the parable of the sower. And also in Galatians 3:6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Verse 7, know therefore that they that are of faith the same are sons of Abraham. We inherit the benefits of the kingdom just like that woman in Luke because of our faith. We're walking in the steps of Abraham. Verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. An elect group of all nations is abiding in their father Abraham. Verse 29, and if ye are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, heirs according to promise. And then Paul said in Galatians 4:28, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of of promise. How many of you believe that promise? Then you are a child of Abraham and a child of God. You have the benefits of the kingdom through the covenant. And one of them was that you have the right to be delivered of demons and the right to cast out demons also. All believers can do that, Matthew 10. There are people out there that specialize in this, but I want to tell you that in Mark 16, 17, just makes one condition, and that is believe. A baby Christian can cast out demons. It's been spoken to us, and we should be doing it. Jesus spoke and said in Matthew 12 and 43, but the unclean spirit, when he has gone out of the man, passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and findeth it not. Then he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out, and when he is come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then he goes in and takes with himself seven other spirits, more evil than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this evil generation. Well, what evil generation was he speaking about? Well, let's go back to 39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And in verse 38, you see he was speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. There's no difference between that end time generation at the end of their covenant and this end time generation at the end of our covenant. The former rain came at the end of their covenant, and the latter rain is coming at the end of our covenant. Glory to God. Real quick, too. Real soon, I believe. History just repeats itself, don't it? And I tell you, there's going to be many demons cast out in the days ahead from covenant people. But because they won't repent, they'll return much worse. It's a sad, but it's a true thing. And some of you are still saying, how is it that a Christian can really have demons? I remember for years people have quoted this verse to me. I don't know if you've ever heard it or not. My spirit will not dwell in an unclean temple. Have you heard that? Well, it's not found in scriptures anywhere. There's no verse that says that. It's become very popular and has become like one of those old wives' tales. I agree with it in a way. Because where the Spirit of God dwells, then that's a holy place. But the problem is, how is it that Christians can have demons and yet have the Holy Spirit? The tabernacle in the wilderness was not only a type of the Lord himself, but it was a type of his corporate body. The tabernacle was made up of holy of holies, holy place, and outer court. And this corresponds to spirit, soul, and body of man. And of the corporate body. People say God and the devil or demons cannot dwell in the same temple. That is not to be found anywhere in the Bible, number one. The Holy of Holies represents our spirit, which was the place of the Ark of the Covenant, the place where God's presence dwelt, the Shekinah glory. And God would speak from between the cherubim over the mercy seat in the Ark. And only the high priest, who represents Jesus, could go into this place, which represents the spirit of born-again man. And if their high priest had been sanctified, he wouldn't live through that experience. You know, they tied a rope on him in case he wasn't sanctified according to the law. And they just drag him out if he died. Nobody unholy can enter into the Holy of Holies or our spirit. When we're born again, we're given a new spirit and become that tabernacle of the presence of God. It's holy, and no demon can enter there. Now God, through your sanctified spirit, wants to take a possession of your soul, which is the holy place of your mind, will, and emotion. And that's the process of sanctification. We have instances in the Bible of the wicked entering in and taking hold of the horns on the altar in the holy place, asking for the mercy of God. And it's true about us too. Evil natures and demons can enter into our soul. the latter of which we will call this possession. So Satan seeks to possess our soul, and God through the Spirit seeks to possess our soul. We decide who wins this war. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves, our soul, from all defilement of flesh and spirit, that's evil spirits, perfecting holiness or sanctification in the fear of God. The tent over the Holy of Holies and the holy place or spirit and soul was covered with ram skins dyed red. What did rams represent? A stubborn beast. The red represents sin. Isaiah 1 verse 18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And just as the rams were sanctified, just as the rams were sacrificed in their blood, so we have to sacrifice this old beastly flesh. And we Christians have a continual burnt offering, sacrificing our bodies as a living sacrifice. Romans 12 and 1. Well, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you next time, God willing.